Welcome to the first service of the month of March 2015. And time is flying, as it always does, but good to see you here. And again, thank you for praying. Good to see a good number of our young people, children, out in the Sunday school classes this morning. And we're going to enjoy our time together this morning as well, amen. And we are looking at a very helpful series for our lives from the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter is a very helpful book, which really just brings to our minds many of the main things in the Christian life that we so often forget, that we neglect, and that's why so often we struggle. And Peter was writing to a group of believers that were facing real and horrific trials, trials that I'm assuming that you and I will never experience, and yet in our lives we do face trials, we do face times of suffering and persecution. And we also need to be prepared, especially since the last days, and as we approach the last days, we will face greater persecution, and we need to be ready. And so from the book of 1 Peter, we're going to continue with our series on strength for the last days. Welcome, welcome. Good morning. So let's turn to 1 Peter, chapter number 1. If you'll turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. And let's read verses 8 to 9 this morning as we continue on in this wonderful book. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 to 9. Why don't we read these verses out loud together, shall we? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Ready? Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our time. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your presence with us this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your love. Lord, as we look into Your Word and as we learn more about how much You love us and the reality of living within Your precious goodness and kindness to us, Lord, help us to love You more. Lord, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You that not only was it written to these believers who were suffering and facing great persecution and trials, Lord, in the day it was written, but Lord, we thank You that You have supernaturally inspired Your Word, so that, Lord, it is for us today. And Lord, we know that You will speak to our hearts through this time. Help us to be open. Help us to be willing to receive, Lord, what You want to speak to us directly about as Christians and as a church. Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, Peter, as we well know, was writing to Christians who were suffering for their faith, for their Christian faith. And Peter's goal was to strengthen them. Though they may never have seen Him, nevertheless, they were still able to enjoy the love of Christ to the full and to love the Lord to the full. And we need to understand the statement in verse number 8. Though now ye see Him not, yet believing. Notice that statement, yet believing. How can we as Christians love someone whom we've never seen? Has anyone ever mocked you for your faith before? And they've said to you, how can you believe in someone that you've never seen? How can you believe in a God and a Saviour whom you've never seen with your own eyes? Well, the Bible tells us how, by this very statement, yet believing. Our faith is based upon a solid rock. Our faith is based upon a wonderful risen Saviour that lives today, and the wonderful hymn that we sing, you ask me how I know He lives within my heart. My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ lives today. But the danger is, as you and I face persecution and trials, we might get discouraged because we cannot see the Lord with our own eyes personally yet for ourselves. But we need to remember what this statement means, yet believing. We can be strong in the love of the Lord. We can have confidence in our Christian life because our faith is not a blind faith. Yes, we live by faith, but it's not a blind faith. It's not a fairy tale. We believe in the living God, and the moment that you and I are saved,
that we repent of our sins, put our faith in Christ once and for all, we experience firsthand what it means to be born again. We experience the load of a lifetime of sin lifted off our shoulders. We experience the presence and the joy of the Holy Spirit of God. And we experience the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's a supernatural thing. That is beyond the description of words. I can't really tell you in words what the born again experience is if you've never been born again. But let me tell you something. Once you are saved, you know it. Yet believing, others will criticize you and mock you for your faith. How can you believe in someone you've not seen? How can you love someone whom you've not seen? And your own sinful flesh will condemn you at times, cause you to doubt God. When something happens in your life that is unexpected, you might start to doubt the Lord and say, well, I've never seen Him. Maybe He doesn't love me. We need to understand that we can be strong in love. Now remember when the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, He appeared to the disciples and remember the one who wasn't there that doubted? Who was it?
Thomas.
That's right. And Thomas turned up on the scene and the Lord wasn't there. And he said, look, you told me He's alive, but unless I see the nail prints in His hands, unless I put my hand in His side and see where He was thrust through with a spear, I'm not going to believe that He has risen from the dead. And then, as the Lord made Himself visible to Thomas, Thomas repented and he said, oh, my Lord and my God. He recognized that Jesus Christ was alive. But look with me in your notes. Notice what the Lord said in John chapter 20 and verse 29. Do you see that verse there in your notes? Just in the introduction? John 20 verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. My friends, that is us this morning. We can enjoy the love of Christ to the full simply by faith, by believing. Through eyes of faith, we see the Lord. Our love we have for the Lord is a sightless love. A sightless love. We cannot see Him physically, yet we love Him. How? Yet believing. Yet believing. And by the way, the Bible tells us that you and I live between the first coming and the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will see the Lord face to face. We will stand before Him and rejoice. But don't wait for that moment to love the Lord. No, we need to love Him right now. We can enjoy His love right now and be strong in His love. Let's learn a few things this morning from God's Word. Roman numeral number one, the possibility of a sightless love. The first blank is the word possibility. The possibility of a sightless love. How is it possible to love someone, a God whom we have never seen? The possibility of a sightless love. Well, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, it is absolutely possible. The Bible says, verse 8, whom having not seen ye love. Whom having not seen, ye love. God tells us it's possible, but have a look with me there in your notes. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Let's read it together out loud. Ready? We love Him because He first loved us. How can we love the Lord? One whom we have never seen, we love Him because He first loved us. You see, God has shown us His love. Jesus Christ has shown us His love personally by dying on the cross and paying for our sins. We don't believe in a God that never existed, like Zeus or Apollos, these man-made idols and Greek myths. No, we believe in a real person, God who came down in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, a God of history, a God who dwelt among us. And the Bible tells us not only did history record His life, but the Word of God records His life. We know that He lived, and He lived for the very purpose. For John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God loves everyone. Doesn't matter what their color is. Doesn't matter what their nationality is. Doesn't matter what their age is. Doesn't matter what their gender is. God loves everyone. And He has shown His love. And my friends, the moment you put your faith in Christ as your personal Savior, you experience firsthand the love of God. When you are genuinely saved, my friends, you experience the love of God and the wonderful peace of forgiveness and a joy that though it may dim and though it may waver, never fades, never disappears. And that is the love of God. So you might doubt God's love as a Christian. Let me encourage you to remember that loving moment when Christ saved you. Remember, he's proven his love historically and spiritually on the cross. But if you've received Christ as your Savior, you know he loves you. You've experienced salvation. Don't doubt his love. You can be strong in his love this morning because you're saved. Let me ask you this morning, have you experienced the love of Jesus Christ? You know, it's one thing, as I always say, to pray a prayer. As a Catholic growing up, I prayed a prayer every day to go to heaven. I prayed to Mary, I prayed to Jesus, I prayed to myself when I was just sticking my head on the pillow and just desperate for help. But I wasn't saved. I didn't repent of my sins. I didn't put my faith in Christ alone to save me on the spot once and for all forever. And I didn't turn away from my wicked ways and I didn't want to let go of my sins. No, I was religiously praying prayers, hoping that will help me to get to heaven. My friend, that's not salvation. Salvation is a transaction. Salvation is an event. Jesus said you must be born again. And once you are truly born again, my friends, you will love the Lord. There'll be a love that is placed in your heart by the Holy Ghost if you've never experienced that love. You know that you're not saved. Don't stay in that place. My friends, you can experience an overwhelming love that is beyond what you can see. But a love of God because of salvation. He's shown us his love in salvation, but also his word tells us about his love. Now, perhaps some of you are here this morning and you've received a letter or a card from someone you love. It may not be of someone of the opposite gender. It may not be your husband, ladies that wrote to you in the past something sweet. Or may not be it could be a family member. It could be a grandchild. It could be something sweet that you held on to because it reminded you of someone who loves you. You know, and you kept that card, you kept that postcard. And maybe when you were courting that person that you were going to marry, they wrote you something and you kept it. You filed it away because it was precious. You know, God has given us a love letter. Amen? The Word of God is His love letter to you and I. And by the way, God's love is much greater than the love of anyone else that you know. That's why it's so important to hold His Word in our hands and hold it close to our hearts and make it precious to us because this is God's love letter to us. You might say, Pastor, I can't see him. How do I know he loves me? Well, he's shown you in salvation, but he tells us in his word. Amen? The Lord tells us in his word that he loves us. God gives us his holy promise that his love is from everlasting to everlasting. How do we know that he loves us? He has told us in his love letter, the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Why is it that we don't want to read God's Word? Well, we have a sinful flesh. Why is it that we find distractions and oppositions during the day keeping us from the Word of God? Because the devil doesn't want you to be in God's love letter. He doesn't want you to be reading about who he is. He wants you to make up wrong ideas about God in your own heart and think to yourself, well, God doesn't love me because I can't see him, because things are going wrong in my life. No. His love letter, the Word of God, tells us that his love is from everlasting to everlasting. His love never changes. He's always loving. I've said it once, I'll say it again. I've said it more than once, actually. If God is always loving, and he promises that he will always love us, is there ever a day, let me ask you, that he will be unloving towards you, yes or no? He cannot be both. If God says, I'm always loving, he can never be unloving at the same time. It's either one or the other. If he's unloving, then he's a liar, and we can throw his love letter out the window, amen? We can throw the Word of God in the rubbish bin if we cannot trust the promises of God. But he tells us, and he's shown us that he loves us. And why do we doubt? You know, to be honest, sometimes we live like the average unbeliever. You know? the unbelieving world criticizes us for our faith, and they say, how can you love someone you've never seen? And we know we love him because he first loved us. Once we're saved, we know. We cannot see him, but we know we're saved. And we know he says in his word, but if we forget his word, we live like the average unbeliever. We say to ourselves, well, maybe God doesn't love me because I'm going through this heartache right now. Maybe he doesn't love me because I'm going through this trial. And we allow experiences and circumstances to dictate what God's love is like. When he has told us in his word, let me tell you why you think God doesn't love you. Because you are not reading his love letter to you. You're not spending time in the Bible, amen. And I'm just saying that from experience. I'm no different, amen. We're made of the same stuff this morning. We all have doubts, we all have fears, we all have trials. We all have a sinful flesh that only trusts in what it can see, and it's groomed to just believe in what it can see. But we have a spiritual nature that's yearning to trust in the promises of God that we know are true. And they're right here in the Word of God. His Word. You know, in the Old Testament, a few of God's prophets saw the Lord, but not everyone. How did these Old Testament folks believe in God? They didn't see him. We know the apostles did when Christ came, but they didn't see him either. You know what they did? They put their faith in the Lord, and by faith they trusted in the promises of God. By faith they knew that a Savior would come, and they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who was to come. What do? We put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who has already come. It's all by faith. They lived by faith. They were saved by faith in the Old Testament. We are also saved by faith in the New Testament. But it's all by faith. Amen. And if they could live the Christian life, enjoying the love of God, so can we. The Old Testament saints did it. That's how it's possible to live in the love of God without seeing him yet. Remember, yet. Not yet. We will see him. But we already know that we're saved once we are truly born again. Let me encourage you to live by faith. If you're not sure about your salvation, you cannot possibly comprehend the sweetness of the love of Christ. My friend, he loves you. He's already shown it on the cross. Will you receive his love this morning? If you're not sure that you're saved, let me encourage you, don't leave this morning without making sure. It's not difficult to be saved, but it's a choice you need to make. You need to step forward and receive him as your Savior. But if you are a Christian, remember the day of your salvation, amen. Remember that love that you experienced and that joy and that sweetness that was there and that continued. My friend, that hasn't changed. The love of God hasn't changed for you. He keeps you saved, and his word will remind you. You need to spend time in his word. How can you be strong in these last days? Well, you can be strong in his love. Amen. Absolutely. That's the possibility of a sightless love. Notice Roman numeral number 2. Are you still with me this morning?
Yep.
Amen. All right, the preeminence. It's not going to be a long lesson this morning because we have birthday Sunday. So just keep looking up after you've written your blank. Roman numeral number 2, the preeminence. Now, if you have trouble spelling like I do, it's at the bottom of your sheet at the back, all right? And the preeminence of a sightless love. The preeminence. What does that mean? Colossians 1:8, there in your notes. The Bible says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The word preeminence means first in rank, though it also means superior above all others. Not just first, but a much, much greater love and quality above all others. Now, when we think about the things we love in this world, the love of self, the love of money, the love of others, the love of family, the love of friends, the love of things, the Bible tells us, brethren, that Christ must be preeminent. He must be the one that we love above all others. In order for you and I as Christians to be strong in his love, he needs to be loved above all others. He must be
preeminent. That's the only way that we can enjoy the love of Jesus Christ. Now, this is more than making him the first in rank of all the things that we love. No, we are not to think that Christ is one of the ones we love and then try to put him first. No, Christ is like no other. Christ is like no other. My friends, he is God. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He deserves the most and the greatest affection that we can give him. He's not one of many of our loves that we love in this world. He's not one of many and we just put him first. No, he is the one and only. Amen. That's how we need to see him, the preeminence of his love. Now, like me, have you ever attempted to put together a puzzle? And it may have been one of those crazy 1,000-piece puzzles, and you set out as a challenge to put it together. Maybe you've had some handy help. And you get to the end, and you frustratingly realize there's one piece missing. Has that ever happened to you before? And you go, oh no! What a waste of time! There's one piece missing. And though that piece, you know, you might think, well, it doesn't really matter. Yes, it does. It's not complete without that one piece. And you know, that's just a little illustration to remind us of the fact that without Jesus Christ in his proper place in your life and mine, nothing will fit together. You might have everything else in place. You might be striving after the best career or the most money or the happiest kind of lifestyle. But my friend, if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ as you should, if he's not preeminent in your life, nothing will fit together. Life won't make sense. And God will remind you of that because you'll start to think he doesn't love me anymore. I'm not enjoying his love. Why? Because he's not preeminent. He's not superior above all others. You know, most people are so career conscious and money conscious, there is no room for the Lord. They may have all these things set in place or trying to, but they will never have satisfaction in their souls until Christ is in his place, until Christ is on the throne. Not one of many gods, but the only. Amen. The one and only. A new relationship. My friends, I can't tell you how many people in this world think that the answer to their life is a new relationship with someone else. I just need to find someone else that will love me more than the last person. And they keep missing the fact that it's Jesus Christ that they need. It's Jesus Christ that they need. No one can love us like God can. And you know, I learned this very early on as a Christian, that if I don't depend on the Lord for his love and I stray for him, I've got an unfair expectation, for example, on my wife to give me the love that only God can give me. My friends, that is a tragedy in a marriage when we try and expect each other to fulfill God's role in our lives. We try and expect a love perhaps from a spouse that is unrealistic and is false because they're just a wicked sinner like you and I that are saved by the blood of Christ. Amen. They're not perfect. They can't always do everything right. They're going to disappoint us. We will have arguments. Let's be honest. You know, a marriage is a real thing. A relationship is a real thing. It's not perfect. There are trials. There are difficulties. But only God's love is perfect. Only he knows the fullness of our soul and heart. Only he knows what we're going through. If we don't look to the Lord for his supreme love and enjoy that, then we will have unrealistic and unfair expectations of others. That will crush your relationships, whether they're friendships, whether they're marriages, whether they're friendships with our children. I know so many cultures that are just absolutely dreadful. Parents expect their children to be perfect and to reflect like a godlike love back to the parents, almost as if to worship the parent as God. What an unrealistic expectation of children. God's love must be preeminent in our lives, or else everything else will fall apart. Now, these believers, don't miss it, they were going through horrific persecution. They were suffering so greatly for the gospel, for the truth. And they no doubt would have been tempted to doubt the love of God.
You know, when they were being slaughtered for the faith, some of them may have wondered, does God really love me if he's allowing me to be thrown into this arena to be consumed by lions, to be burnt alive, as they may have seen others in their faith go through that. They may have had cause to doubt God. But Peter encouraged them and said, no, don't forget the Lord loves you. He loves you more than anyone else. You can be strong in his love, yet believing. Remember, you have a love that will never fade. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, what are the next words? Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. They could rejoice in the Lord, and many testimonies have been written down in history in the Book of Martyrs of Christians being burnt at the stake, rejoicing in the Lord, and singing praises to God as the fires burnt. It's as if they didn't even feel the pain of the flames. We don't even know, but so many martyrs went to their grave rejoicing. Why? Because they knew the love of God. They had the love of God, and they knew the moment they would breathe their last breath, even though during a time of extremely horrific suffering, they would step into glory and walk on streets of gold, and they will see face to face the Saviour whom loved them. You might say, what kind of love is that? Well, you see, through these believers that died, these unbelievers that killed them saw a love that they'd never seen before. They saw something in their hearts, and they stepped back and they said, why is this person praising God? Well, they're being executed. Why? Many of them were saved. Many of them were saved because they saw a joy unspeakable in these suffering Christians' lives. You see, when we face suffering and trials, one of the reasons God allows that to come into your life and mine is so that the unbelieving world will see a difference in our lives. We can have a joy unspeakable, but he must be first place. He must be preeminent. And you know, if Christ is first place, let me warn you, that doesn't mean difficulties won't come. Sometimes we think, all right, if I live for the Lord, if I put him first in my life, as in superior above all others, I'm not going to have any problems. That's not true. Difficulties will come, but when they do, listen to this, we will trust in Christ in those difficulties. We will trust in Christ for those trials, rather than collapsing and falling into a heap and a pile of discouragement without Christ. If he's in his proper place in our lives, we'll trust him with our problems, and we can have a joy unspeakable even during the midst of the worst suffering, because we are experiencing the overwhelming love of Christ. It's a possibility, absolutely, to love Christ whom we've not seen. But he must be preeminent. And lastly, there in your notes, the power of a sightless love. The last blank, the power of the sightless love. My friend, God's love has the power to change your life. Now, here's a question. Does the world sing of the power of love, yes or no? Absolutely. Every single rock song, pop song, someone's singing about the power of love. I remember when I was growing up, Kylie Minogue's sister, it wasn't a favourite song of mine, but I remember it, Kylie Minogue's sister came out with a song, This Is It. How many of you remember that song? This is it. This time I know it's the real thing. That's what she sang about. Sorry to bring up those lyrics. I'll make a point in a second. And she was singing about someone who she fell in love with, so to speak, and she ended up marrying, and she wrote this song about, I found the perfect one. This is it. This is the real thing. I can't explain what I'm feeling, she sang. But I know this is it. Less than 2 years later, they were divorced. My friends, that's not the kind of love that God is talking about. That's not the kind of love that Peter's talking about here in the Word of God. No, my friends, this is a love supreme. The one that can only come from our heavenly Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. A love that has the power to change our lives forever. And it doesn't fade. It doesn't disappear. It doesn't grow weaker unless we drift away from God in our hearts. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Why is God's love so powerful?
The Bible says in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith. What is the end of our faith? What is the end of this life of loving the one whom we have not seen? What does the Bible say? Even the salvation of your souls. Why does God's love have the power to change our lives? Because once we experience salvation, we know that we are presently saved, and we know that we have been saved from the penalty of sin, and we experience deliverance from the power of sin as we grow as Christians, but also we will be delivered from the presence of sin into the very presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have eternal life. My friends, if that has never changed your heart, I put some question marks about your salvation. Christianity is not complicated. Once you're saved, you've got a reason to rejoice and a reason to smile. And if you drift from that, you always can come back to the fact of God's wonderful love. What a powerful love to change our lives. You know, Peter encouraged these believers, hey, this is the end of your destiny. If you die as a martyr, you will be ushered into the very presence of Christ. And you will enjoy His embrace and His love for all eternity. They knew that they were saved. You see, there is real power in love. Yes, there is. But not the love of this world. The love of God. The love of our Saviour. It changes us. It does. His love changes us. As we spend time in His Word, we should grow to love Him more as Christians. As we spend time and we search the depths of the riches of the love of God in His Word, we will grow to love Him more. As we see how much He really loves us, especially in the wicked and sinful and wretched state that we are, God still loved us and He has made us His own. As you spend time in His love letter, that love for Christ will just grow and grow and grow as you learn how much He has loved you and how much He still loves you and how much He does in your life and shows you the greatness of His love and how He's taking care of us. But we need to sit at His feet and listen to His words of love. We need to spend time with Him. And the power of God's love will change us. Let me tell you something. When you experience the love of God, you don't need to be begged to serve God. You don't need to be begged. If you are walking in the love of Christ, my friends, you don't need to be begged to do anything. You volunteer left and right to serve God because you love Him. And you know He loves you. And you're not motivated out of guilt or pressure by perhaps this pastor yelling at the top of his lungs, do something for God. No, you'll be excited to serve the Lord because you love Him. Amen. Why do we obey Him? Why should we obey Him? What did the Lord say? If you love Me, keep My commandments. Amen. If you love Me, keep My commandments. How can we obey the Lord? Well, first, He needs to be preeminent. We need to be saved first. That's how it's possible to love Him. He needs to be preeminent in our lives. Then we will obey Him joyfully, not out of guilt, Amen. Not out of pressure, not out of fear that He's going to come down on us with a holy hammer. God is holy, but it's love that will motivate us to live for Him. Now, we're going to talk more about this morning. I don't want to go too far, because we're going to look at a church this morning that was faithfully serving God, was separated from error. Great lessons for us this morning. But they had left their first love. And let me ask you, adults, just continue to open your heart to His Word this morning. But let me challenge you that it is possible to be strong in His love. If you've lost sight of His love over the past weeks or year, my friends, we can come back to Him. And we'll talk about that this morning in the main message. But remember, as these believers were going through great suffering, it wasn't rocket science how they can endure. Peter just simply pointed them back to this wonderful, simple truth of the love of Christ. If you're saying that, Pastor, that's not enough for me in my life and what I'm going through, then you don't know the greatness and the depth of His love. You are still yet to experience it, perhaps, as a Christian, as you deepen your relationship with God. But He loves us, and He wants us to come closer to Him this week and to spend time with Him. I hope that's reassuring for your life this week, and I hope it's helpful. We need to be strong in love. How will we make it through this year?
How will we stand as a faithful witness in the day in which we live in, when people will mock us and curse us to our face, where we will become the heretics and the persecuted ones in the days ahead? How? Because of His love. And we can be victorious and be strong.